We're kicking down this motherfucking door, and we're doing that.
Let's get into it. If there's anything that could be haunted, for sure that fucking chair's haunted.
Then again, the internet always wins. The internet always wins.
Searching around about this dock I found.
Let's be frank, there's piss on the floor.
Was pulled out of power and he was murdered by firing squad. I'll start huffing paint. Three Dudes in a Dock. That's the one.
That is what it's called.
Okay, welcome back. This is Three Dudes in a Dock. And I apologize for last week's hiatus, but I was under the weather. I had a visit from Arthur, and yeah, we're back this week. I'm here with Mitch and Christian, as always. Good day, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good evening.
Yeah, I had a visit from Arthur.
What the fuck does that mean?
Arthritis.
Oh, arthritis.
Yeah. I was getting my blood taken, and...
voluntarily?
Yeah.
By Arthur.
And by Gene.
Oh.
Yeah. Gene the Blood Man. Don't you know Gene the Blood Man?
This is getting to sound like more and more like a drug story.
And yeah, we were talking and he's like, oh, you're way too young to get visited by Arthur. And I was like, at first I was like, what the fuck? Then I was like, oh, yeah, arthritis. Yeah.
I think this dude was hitting on you.
Maybe.
I'm Arthur.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Hey.
Arthur. Sue this Arthur away.
I'm busy. So,
yeah, this week we watched, last week, but this week we watched The Painter and the Thief.
Anyone listening right now, it was this week.
This week.
We went back to the future.
Yeah. So, Painter and the Thief is a, 2020. Doc directed by Benjamin Ree.
It was a good year.
It's about a painter, Barbara, what's her last name?
Barbara Kislykova.
Kislykova, yeah. She paints these two paintings. They go into a gallery, and then they get stolen from said gallery.
Amazing. I think it was the National Gallery of Oslo.
Yeah.
I suppose in Norway, not Oslo, but yeah, that's no joke to steal from that. Well, I guess it kind of is. They can just walk in the back fucking door and thieve them from the front window.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So they catch the one thief and it goes to trial and she confronts the thief. And I think part of the sentence was that he had to help her or he had to.
I don't know if that was court appointed, but he did end up helping her. I kind of think that she approached. Okay, so we're a little bit jumping ahead in only one respect, in that what was his name? Benjamin Ree.
Yeah.
He read about these thefts in the Oslo papers, multiple articles. Well, he kept seeing about this. So he decided to...
So he started shooting this before the thefts?
No.
Yeah.
No. No. I was
trading it.
One of Kislykova's... Barbara. One of Barbara's friends was filming for something totally different, like back in 2014.
Okay.
And because this doc took about 3 years to film, or at least it spans...
2016 to 2019. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
3 years.
Yeah.
So... Benjamin Ree, the director, and I think probably one of the cinematographers, decided to, I think, initially do a short documentary.
Yes.
But we went way back to the beginning. Anyways, he follows Barbara Kislykova, hopefully we're saying that right, to the courtroom, but obviously you're not allowed cameras or anything in the courtroom. So he... No, he doesn't. Barbara installs for herself because she has a really hard time with Norwegian. She's from the Czech Republic.
Yes, yeah.
And she only really knows English and Czech. So she was going to be kind of lost, and she wanted to build a transcript of the court case on her own. So she took in a recording device, recorded it on her own, but the whole court case, the actual court setting in the room. But then afterwards, she had a moment to speak directly to Carl Bertil Nordland. And I think she just outright asks him. This was fairly brief in the doc. It doesn't give a whole lot of space for this to land and sink in, and they don't prop up the audio in any way. It's very kind of not scratchy, but it's not clean and really crisp, and so it's a little bit like from the pocket,
yeah.
Which I think it probably was literally. And I kind of think that Barbara asks him pretty much bold face, like, why did you steal my paintings? And unhesitatingly, Carl Bertil just says, because they're beautiful. And I think it kind of took her by surprise. And so moments later, this is where it sort of gets a little bit, I don't want to say fictional in any way. I don't believe any of this stuff was doctored for the story. Timelines and stuff were fucked around with, but we'll get into that later. And then she says something along the lines of, I would love for you to sit for a portrait, and I would love to paint a portrait of you. And then, so I don't know if it was like court appointed. You're going to make up for what you've done, not only with jail, but with like helping this artist and like produce another painting.
It does seem like a Norwegian punishment.
It honestly, if you've seen the prisons in Norway, that sounds exactly right.
Yeah.
They're beautiful. Like there's trees, they can walk around. They have like a desk and pens and paper and like maybe fucking scissors on their desk. I don't know. But
They're free range criminals.
They're free range criminals. Honestly, it was kind of amazing because you get to see the inside of Carl's cell dorm when he's in prison for something else later on. But I don't know if it was court appointed. I would be surprised if it turned out that it was. Yeah. I kind of think that she struck it up. I think maybe to her own surprise as well. She just kind of blurted it out.
I thought he said, or she said something like about him having to help her or something like that. Mm. But
I'm not certain on it. But
and that's, so the reason why she speaks English throughout this entire movie is because she doesn't understand Norwegian.
Yeah. It's so lucky that everyone over there speaks really good English.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean, I pretty should took handy. Over.
Yeah, pretty handy.
That's a handy thing. We can thank our ancestors for that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well done, guys.
So
well done. Clap, clap, clap.
It says here they began filming the fourth time that Barbara met Carl Bertil.
Right. So I guess I'll reveal my not gripe, but it's a gripe from a positive place in that this dog has pretty fictional way of telling the story.
Yeah.
None of the story is fictional. It is stranger than fiction. Uh-huh. This is one of the most remarkable stories.
Yeah.
It's very European. I think we guessed this like 2 weeks ago when we picked the doc. Very European. This story, like this is sort of classic, dry drama, human nature, emotion, heavy filmmaking and storytelling, but it just so happens to be a fucking documentary. But it's through editing, directing, and just straight up storytelling and writing, because they obviously I feel like I don't need to say this, but like they filmed it linearly. Yes. that's just the way time works, but they it really doesn't show in the documentary. You are delivered information when it matters most in this doc, oddly enough. The way that I took the note was that it was an interesting choice to allow the story arc to unfold based on temporal references given by the subjects in interviews, and that when someone is telling a story and a new detail or a reference to a detail not yet discussed comes up, the director or the editor, the director, I guess, decides to cut back or jump forward, whatever it needs to happen, or cut to a different space. So if you're interviewing Barbara, And she references something that is happening more or less contemporaneously to Carl. The director would just cut to Carl, and then Carl would, because there was two cameramen for this, Christopher Kumal or something was the other camera person. Anyways, cinematographer. They would cut to whatever storyline was being referenced to at the time, and they would stick with it. It wasn't like it was jumping every 45 seconds, but it was definitely interesting. It was very Christopher Nolan-esque, and especially for a documentary. Perhaps it's not that interesting in like a feature fiction film,
right?
But definitely neat for a documentary. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
So this has a little bit of a connection to a movie I believe you and Chris, or you and Mitch saw.
I saw that on IMDb.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what it was. I mean, I like literally it was Subject.
Yeah.
Right. In 2022. That was when we were down at Dogfest, but, watching there
was
Subject.
It said a small clip.
Yeah.
It was featured in, which I was just looking at stuff that's been featured in Subject. Like a lot of stuff, Bing Liu was in it.
Bing. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. From see, Minding I had no memory.
Yeah.
No memory of that. Yeah.
Bing Liu.
Bing Liu was from Minding the Gap. He was the
director.
The director and the filmer.
And one of the Friedmans from Capturing the Friedmans.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur Agee from Hoop Dreams.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I thought Sarah Pauly was going to be in that. I don't know why. Does she have anything to do with it?
I don't think so.
I don't know why I thought that.
You just love her, bro.
I really do. Sarah Pauly's, she's a fucking national treasure.
Okay, calm down.
No. this is yeah. Three dudes in a dock, and so, I'm one of the three. And it's a dock.
When we read earlier, like when we first picked it, that there was like another kind of twist in it. And then in the documentary when Carl Bertel's in prison, and it's showing him in prison, and he's like trying to reach out to her, and he doesn't get a hold of her. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh fuck, she killed herself.
Oh, that's what you were thinking?
Yeah,
100%. Oh, no.
I was like, huh. She, because it shows her going through money troubles.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh fuck, she just got like really, like, deep into it. And
she Pollocked one of her canvases.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Ooh. That's what I. So
and artsy.
The actual twist wasn't as crazy as I was anticipating.
I watched it very recently again. I don't know what it was.
That they found the painting.
Oh, that's what she was busy with.
Well,
she was just, oh, yeah. Well, he was in prison for like a year.
Yeah. No, but I think that's what the twist, like that's, you know.
Oh, that's the twist.
Yeah,
that's not her excuse for not picking up the phone.
No.
Oh, I see.
she thinks that they're gone, and then she tracks down the other thief and.
Yeah,
Mikkel. And then finds it in a storage locker somewhere.
I thought that was a fucking, like, poetic. It was remarkable. I couldn't believe it. It was,
that's cool.
It was amazing. But so she tracks down this other criminal because the paintings were stolen by two people. One was Carl Bertil Nordland, and he was working with a buddy or a friend or just a fucking person he knew.
Just another drug addict.
A random junkie, I guess. Yeah. They didn't even make money off this shit that they remember. And he never saw him again after that day. His name was Mikkel, anyways. So she finally found his contact info because I guess he was in prison for not that. I think something else.
Oh, you don't say.
Well, I kind of think that the way that first case went down and Carl Bertil got jail time for the theft of the painting was that he was considered like the leader of that little two-person paint thief gang.
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason he was given an actual prison sentence and maybe Mikkel was just not, or maybe they couldn't identify him or find him, but
yeah,
eventually he was in jail. I can't say that it was for that though. And so she had a hard
criminal's
time tracking
criminal.
Him down. Yeah, recidivism.
Yeah, and in Norway, how can you? You're like, guys, we're going to get like 6 months in a sick-ass hotel.
Yeah.
It's going to be real cold the next 3 months. Fuck being homeless.
Can I admit something that I am not very proud of? And I feel stupid for.
You've been to jail?
No.
Oh. You know Norway was a country?
No, I knew Norway was a country. So I'm sure we probably talked about on the podcast before. But
Norwegians are just like us.
No.
We were going to do like the pen pal documentary thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like reaching out to like every different country on Reddit.
Did you forget Norway?
No, I did Norway, but for like, I know they're Norwegian, but for some reason I was like looking for a Norse pen pal. And then like, I just got a bunch of replies like, you're a fucking idiot. Norse died. Like they're like mythical people. I'm like, Norse. Oh, fuck.
Right. Oh,
you should've just kept with it. And like, yeah, I'm trying to reach out to a Viking.
Yeah.
I wanted
to talk to
spirit
Odin.
Hunting.
Yeah.
Spirit hunting.
Oh, fair. I appreciate the honesty.
I need to send them a message.
I always have to call it my stupidity. Always.
Yeah.
That's fun, though.
We have a whole other podcast lined up for this one.
Tyler, you're fucking stupid.
So she had a hard time. Barbara Kislykova had a hard time reaching out to Mikhail, the second thief that didn't, I think, catch jail time for this. Maybe just a fine and probation or whatever they do in Norway. Dinner out. And you're paying. That's the punishment.
He's not allowed in an art gallery for like 6 months or something?
Honestly, probably. We're going to just change the layout and then you
don't
can come
enjoy
back.
Enjoy art for a year. And he's like, fuck, all right.
That's so harsh. Why you do this to me?
Nothing else to do.
So anyways, she finally finds Mikhail and he gives some information as to where this painting might be. Turns out it appears to be being held by like a big fucking sort of
gangster.
Important gangster, but like genuinely physically large and scary and dangerous.
A Norwegian one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Norwegian gangster.
That's fun.
Yeah. So she is advised not to go on her own, to almost just kind of let it go. Because he's not going, but he did kind of give her the contact for someone that lives either in the building or like close to it that can help out. I think it was someone in the building. Anyways. So she goes to the building on her own with a camera crew who probably have cell phones and like 911 on faster than that speed dial. And yeah, this lady answers the door, lets her into the storage locker area of the bottom of this apartment building condo block. They're rifling through cage after cage after cage, just slowly sauntering and like keeping her eyes peeled, looking for something.
Yeah.
While I guess some of those cages had like people sleeping in them.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I missed that part.
It was super brief. There isn't like a camera pan down to them. I think probably just to save like poor cinematography artifacts, because you'd have to blur their faces because you're not going to wake them up.
Hold on. We just like go through like, disregard the sex slaves. I'm looking for your painting. Like, what the fuck are these people sleeping?
That's not what the talk is about. Yeah, I don't know. They never talk about it again. They just say, and there's some people sleeping down here, and be like, really? How do they get in?
I think that Norway is a cool place, but I don't think so now.
Oh, I think it sounds like a pretty free place.
But they seem extremely like passive, or where they're just
like you too see, lax.
You'd get abducted and you're like, well, it's not me. Oh, well.
But was it so bad? Yeah. It wasn't so bad.
Fuck, that seems wild.
You had sleep inside. Yeah.
Yeah.
They mention it and then they don't show it on screen and they never talk about it again. Anyways.
All right.
Yeah. So, cool. So she's walking through this caged storage locker thing. It looks like it's in the bottom of a condo unit. Just chain link fence, storage, cordon, like cages, cage after cage after cage. And then she turns her head one direction halfway down the hallway and she sees
a canvas.
5 foot tall rolled up canvas, just a beige brown taped and roped. That's exactly like it was when they stole it. And she's like, oh my fucking God. She opens the cage up, drags this thing out and unrolls it and then just like belly flops onto it, onto like cold concrete. Anyways, I'm not like criticizing or judging in any way. I probably would do the same. I can't even imagine. It'd be like losing a kid.
Did you just equate a piece of art to a child?
Yeah. They're about as valuable.
Maybe. Honestly, it's cost you the same to fucking buy one.
This one probably not so much.
No, probably not. I mean, now this is going to go down in art history for sure. Not as a big monument, but it'll be there.
It's one of those that you're like, yeah, just hangs in a gallery.
Yeah.
That's a cool little story.
Long placard. There's like a rack of DVDs of The Painter and the Thief that you can buy from the Criterion Collection eventually, because it's definitely going to make it there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I would assume. It's just so well done. Like, I can't believe that there was a camera there.
Yeah.
But so that brings me to my next point. This is not my podcast, but you guys haven't stopped me from talking yet. So.
I mean, you haven't stopped talking since we asked you to come on to this.
It's 5.5 years in the making.
Yeah.
I did question whether or not this story would have unfolded just as it did if there was no interest by a documentary crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very curious. I'm not trying to pin anything on Barbara or Carl Bertil or anyone really, but it's definitely something maybe to think about. I don't know if now's the time, because the answer is either yes or no or maybe, but
now I have a fun yes or no question we can all take a stab at.
Yes.
Do you think the thief fucked the painter?
That's a great question.
She did say she loved him.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, okay, fuck. Okay. I don't want to, that's fun. I don't want to out you, but like, did you watch it?
No.
So at the very end, this is one of the twists. I wrote down the three most remarkable parts of this movie were 1, 2, and then 3 was the fact that Barbara Kisilkova took pictures of Carl, the thief.
Oh, yes.
And Carl's girlfriend in a sweet and intimate and like quite sensual embrace in order to paint their picture for them.
And she did paint it.
And she did. Yeah. She painted the whole thing like to the T's.
Oh.
But she replaced Carl's girlfriend at the time with herself.
But I think that was the second one, because I think she did.
Man,
we see her painting Carl.
I guess so.
She does like chunks, the way that she paints. Yeah. She's like a hyper realist. So she tries to paint as close to a photograph as possible.
Yeah,
so
shit's crazy.
It's wild. And she's left-handed too. So how she has the brain power to do it, I have no idea.
Whoa.
I'm damn witch.
You're left-handed? I take it back.
No, you can still make fun of them. They get all puffy. Yeah.
No, that's my right hand that gets puffy.
Stop using it.
Because that's God saying, just reminding you that you're a mix-up.
You have a right hand, Tyler. Fucking use it.
Yeah.
So she takes a picture, a high-quality picture of Carl and his girlfriend on like a chaise lounge couch thing. They're both pretty well naked. They just have a little bit of clothes on, like bra and underwear and then there's a blanket, so you have no idea.
They could be inside each other.
They could be. The way that the painting and the posture is, I mean, like, there's absolutely no reason why not. But
why not?
almost the whole movie, we'll say about halfway through, we see this picture being taken, the photograph being taken, and then Barbara working on it.
Yeah.
And then it slowly becomes more and more complete. And literally, the last scene before the credits roll, over top of, actually, I don't even think it stops, is from one scene to the next, hard cut. There's Barbara leaning over, setting up something in the gallery because they're going to do a new showing now that she has
her paintings back.
Control of her paintings. Maybe just the one.
Yes.
They don't technically show the other one.
No.
The swan song is what they recovered. She's setting up something on the floor, and the camera highlights and zooms in on a tattoo, she has on the back of her neck, like right where her neck and back meet at her shoulders. And it's like a series of concentric circles of varying thicknesses, all in black. It looks like a target,
yeah.
A poorly made target. And then the camera kind of fade pans up to this painting that you finally get to see done. But it starts on the painting at the very same target tattoo.
Yeah.
And then, like, your whole world gets flipped upside down. Because this whole time, Barbara has a boyfriend, I guess.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, a very serious boyfriend or, like, perhaps a fiancé. I have no idea. I doubt it's a fiancé at this baby. Point.
Well, and he voices his concerns throughout the documentary.
Yeah, about multiple things. Yep. Most of them Carl and maybe her morals. Not morals in this sense. I didn't mean to insinuate, like, sexually motivated morals, but...
Oh, like, they definitely fucked.
So, I mean, she painted them, like, as if they had just fucked or were about to or are...
The fucking like, guy's got, like, Russian prison tattoos.
Yeah. So, like, and he's really funny. Like, he's a pretty cool guy.
What would you like me to do, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so, yeah, I don't want to go down this weird road, but at the beginning of this is the other. No, that's, no, two different things. At the beginning of this, when the very first time when Carl sits for Barbara to have his portrait begun, they're just kind of talking, super small talk, whatever small talk is in Norway. He's smoking a cigarette. She's sketching on a piece of paper, like 5 or 6 feet from him. And then he starts saying things that they're just talking, but he tells a couple of jokes and I guess they land. And she says to him, she's like, I just really love your sense of humor. I have to say that. I just love the way that you joke. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. He just fucking stole your painting and you don't know where it is. Both of them. See, you know that he's all fucked up. He walks in and he looks like he is gacked out of his fucking mind. Like he is hyped up to go downhill. And and then she's like, oh man, you're so funny. Ha 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 ha. And then she continues to sketch and you scene cut. But
you think at any point, the thief was like, fuck, I should have stole a different painting because this bitch is crazy.
Like, I kind of think that he's into it.
Well, that's cool.
I mean, I don't want to somehow like psychologize or guess things about their life that are unfair because they're both still very much alive and I'm sure they're living good lives. And they might listen to this because they know English. Might be the only reason.
They fucking do.
Don't tag them in this. Don't tag them.
Please do.
But it was very palpable on screen.
Yeah.
Very much so. Almost the whole time, basically from the moment we see them in together in the same room, that like they like each other.
Yeah.
They definitely do. She says that basically the moment that I first saw him in court, I somehow irrationally fell in love with him.
Yeah.
She says that to her boyfriend when they're out to dinner.
Let me set a scenario here.
Crazy.
Do you think he paid for that dinner?
Yeah. Well, she didn't have any money. She was skipping out on rent for 3 months.
True. So
she must do some wild things.
Some hot girl steals your car. You don't get your car back. You meet her in court. Do you become friends with her?
She's like, I'll fix your next one. Yeah. Or not even. I offered to like fix her car.
Yeah.
Do you have any other cars that you fucking need help with? No, I don't think so. Especially like if I'm in a relationship, I'm like, fuck off. What are you doing? No,
this is crazy person.
No, I'm not interested in that.
You stole my car.
So to be as fair as possible. This wouldn't be fair at all. Oh, whatever. She had a history of being with people who were maybe not so nice to her.
Right.
Like super duper not so nice to her. Like would like beat her daily for things. Wow. Just anything. Maybe nothing.
Paint, like force her to paint. That's how she got super good at realistic painting.
I think the exact opposite in that he was abusive in the form of not wanting her to paint at all. Because it he just saw that as some kind of freedom.
And they invented cameras. You don't need this skill.
Yeah. You take a picture and then fucking paint. What the fuck?
You idiot.
Take a picture and like paint something and then take a picture of it, put it online. So like,
they do say that her new boyfriend, like basically like they met where she used to live and then they kind of escaped to Norway. Yeah.
Cause like threats against their lives. Like this guy was pretty fucking wild. Czech
Republic?
In the Czech Republic. Yeah.
Wow. God damn.
Yeah. So I kind of think that this is unfair, and correct me if I'm wrong, Barbara, but you might have had a thing for bad boys, and like she was told,
I grew up in a fucking war zone.
What you gonna do when I steal a painting from you? Yeah, so and then she's
into some like weak ass dude. When she's like, yeah, when I was 10, I saw weak ass dudes get bullets in their head.
She's from the Czech Republic and Norway. Like, there's no such thing as a weak ass dude there. They're all 6'2".
That's true.
Built for fucking tree fighting. And anyways.
America. She'd clean up.
So, and then when she learns about the, like, physically large gangster, which she kind of ruminates on for a little while, she goes to, like, confront them alone with a camera crew, but, like, still. That's bad advice.
They're not vegan gangsters. They can't be that crazy.
I don't think so either, but I don't know. They're all like folding t-shirts in prison. They're cutting out like posters and.
Oh, hello, madam. Like, you guys are, what's going on here?
What the hell? You care for your painting? Yeah.
I mean, not being said, if they got people Norwegian in cages in their basement, that's pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah. So I kind of think that perhaps. Perhaps Barbara liked Carl right off the bat and then like fell deeper for him because he was a pretty funny guy. He's super likable in the documentary, but like she knows that he's dangerous, but therein lies the catch in that she knows that he's dangerous.
And
I think to a degree that's not wholly unattractive for her. So there's that. But there was definitely like palpable tension between them, and that they both knew that perhaps they were in situations that would disallow them from going through with it. And I think that to a degree, they both decided not to for each other's sake, but maybe for like their own sake.
Yeah.
And that, Barbara fled Czechoslovakia, or not Czechoslovakia, that's not fair.
Czech Republic.
The Czech Republic from an abusive partner into like pretty certain stability because she's had a gallery showing at the National Gallery in Oslo. But she's also 3 months behind on rent. And she doesn't seem to be like deeply, deeply worried about that. She phones her boyfriend once on camera that we see.
Nice.
And then it's never talked about again. She's still painting and like in the dog, not till now. I think she's still painting literally right now in 2024, but she seems to have that sort of taken care of and we don't really know how. It just is. So
only
I kind of
fans.
She sells only to fans. That's true.
Oh, man, hyper realistic OnlyFans photos.
That's a fucking great idea.
Thank you.
Wow. Holy shit, I'm going to be so sad if that's not a thing. Anyways, I think that maybe she didn't, like, she knew what happened, perhaps. Not indeed any detail, but, like, she generally knew what would happen if she got in with someone like Carl at that time. And Carl maybe didn't want to pursue her, even though I think he was deeply interested and moved by who she was and what she did.
He was definitely moved by her painting.
I know. That was fucking heartbreaking. I was stunned by that scene.
So she first, like when they're at the very beginning of the documentary, she's painting a picture of him and she finishes it and he like has like this crazy like visceral reaction.
I think he showed up pretty high.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah. If you're on that good and someone shows you a hyper realistic painting, that's not like, this isn't a mirror.
It's of yourself,
you're going to be like, what in the fuck?
So it's honestly, it's a good enough documentary. I don't know how I'm at this stage of it, but like, I recommend you watch it, Mitch, because it's good.
You know what? That was a way that I know you said fuck you, so I'm going to say fuck you back.
Okay, well, this scene is worth it alone.
I just want to know if they fucked, because it sure as fuck seems like they did.
I kind of do too.
At this point, honestly, I'm about to reach out to either one of them to be like, listen, I have a question.
I know that they have Twitter, and they definitely have Instagram. So
let's go. Let's go.
Tagged.
Reins off.
Uh-oh.
So he shows up what I think would be high out of his mind. And he doesn't see the painting at first. And they sit down like 20 seconds later. Barbara's like, and so I've got this painting on the go that I've been working on. And it's like half done. Like there's quite a bit done. She doesn't have very much left to do, I think. And he looks over at the wall and just absolutely is arrested. Like he is stunned. It looks like he's just witnessed the face of a fucking actual ghost. Maybe he has in his little heroin mind.
Yeah.
Is that what he does?
He really likes heroin. Yeah.
Oh man. What a cool guy.
It's like picking your favorite fast food. Like I really, I love Wendy's, but like, I also really love heroin. So anyways,
he's pretty cool.
He is absolutely like spellbound by this painting of himself. It's just, it's a very human picture.
It's literally like the movie cover.
The painting that he cries at, and he cries. Cat's out of the bag.
Dude, he's high on fucking heroin. What's he supposed to do?
No.
Probably shit himself too.
It was the one where he was picking cork out of a glass. He had a shirt on, first of all.
Oh.
And he was picking cork out of a red wine glass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the cover is like him with his cruel Russian tattoos, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think it was just after he was in the hospital or something.
The one on the poster?
That's on the poster.
Yeah.
Right.
Was in the hospital for hanging out with Mr. H too much?
No.
Well, kind of.
Maybe.
He gets in a bad car accident.
Like, well, really fucking
complications
bad.
From hanging out with Mr. H.
Yeah, they're pretty, common symptoms of heroin use is like horrific car accidents. He broke his pelvis and his hips. And
damn, that's like really hard to do, isn't it?
Yeah, that's like deep in your body. And he had titanium screws holding him together. And he's a funny guy. He took a picture of the x-ray that the doctors gave him and put it on Instagram. And he said some caption to the effect of like, I feel like I've just been screwed. Yeah. Like it's so funny. It was funny at the time, I guess.
Our recent humor is a little different, I guess.
Taking it way out of context and giving it absolutely no room to breathe is...
She's been like, this doesn't feel like heroin. I'm like, oh, yeah.
And I do believe, like, they basically said, like, he may not walk again.
Yeah.
And then, like, he gets up and starts walking on his own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, no rehab that we know of. Yeah. But he effectively...
make you get up and start walking.
He takes his first steps after being, like, bedridden for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Jesus.
Completely on his own. It looks painful, and that's a very scary part of the dog, because like he's super unsteady. He has to like throw his body forward and lift his leg at the same time to like move his leg and plant it. But it looks like he could fall at any time. Like when he jerks his body forward, he's just gonna hit the wall like a piece of bacon. Yeah, but
gotta get the heroin.
Mr. H needs me, and I need him too. Anyway, so. He's in Barbara's apartment. I think it's doubling as her studio. Ooh. And sees this painting and just absolutely breaks down. He kind of just whimpers for like probably a full 30 seconds and then just has a full on crying fit. But I feel like not only was he high, I'm guessing, we don't know, but I feel like the painting was just a picture of him that didn't tell you anything about any of the bad stuff that he's done. It was
right.
It was just, it was a very humanizing portrait. It was just him picking a piece of fucking wine cork out of a glass, and he had a clean white shirt on and glasses, which goes a long way to making someone not look fucked up.
Yeah.
And it looked like he looked like any other person. I don't know how else to say it, but like he looked normal.
Yeah.
And
you should have painted a picture of him when he was a kid, and he would have just blown his fucking brains out.
Yeah.
Like, that's so beautiful.
But that's what he said. Like, he was just.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because I was thinking, like, why the fuck would someone react like that? Like,
I think he's also like a deep art lover, too, because we go to his apartment that he somehow holds down while he's addicted to heroin.
I think that was his girlfriend.
Or his girlfriend.
Because she kicks him
out.
Oh,
that's true. Yep.
Yeah.
No, good point.
It seems like it's real easy to get a relationship in Norway, and you can just openly kind of fuck over people.
Yeah. Well, they're all so nice. And they're even nice about how they fuck you over. Like, they'll steal two priceless paintings from a museum, and then like, oh, I would like to help you.
Get like 45 minutes of sunlight per day. You're going to be like, you know what? It's cool, man.
Yeah. Just looking forward to that lunch break. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just go out and see the sun.
So, but I think that was a really special moment in this doc. And that was one of the most remarkable parts that I wrote down here, was Carl's first reaction to his portrait.
So she got both the paintings back, or just the one?
I think she got just one.
It just shows her getting the one back. Yeah.
Yeah. The swan song. I think the swan song too, I couldn't really tell what it was.
A swan.
Oh, it's like that type of shit.
Yeah. But
it looked like a dead swan that had been like eaten away.
I think that's what it, like her style is hyper realistic, but very macabre.
Yeah. Yeah. She has kind of
a picture of a macabre then.
She has an infatuation with death for sure.
Damn.
Yeah. And, those were the three remarkable things. We've touched on all of them now, is when Carl first sees his portrait, he has kind of an emotional, a giant and long-winded emotional breakdown. And when Barbara finds her canvas in the storage locker and then just like rolls it out, belly flops and like kisses it and hugs it for a minute, rolls it back up and literally just walks out with it over her arm like a timber, and then down the street and like off into the Oslo night. And it was fucking cinematic, like in the moment, like filming a documentary. I've never done one, but I imagine in the moment, I don't know how that would hit you. It just seems very, it seems kind of sad almost that you would be in that moment with that person. But the very point of doing a documentary is to catch these special moments or these unique events that happen, or just the mundane, but whatever. Yeah. These ones were special and unique. Quite remarkable and stranger than fiction, but you can't see it with your own eyes. You can't hear it with your own ears, and you can't sit back and be with the person and be present there for whatever is happening. You have to look through the lens and listen to the audio. Maybe not at the same time. That might be not the same, like, person, like same cinematographer might not listen to the audio at the same time as they're filming.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't be present there with that person that evidently you've been filming for probably 2.5 years at this point.
Yeah.
That's a long fucking time. That's a super long time. In and out of being behind the camera and talking directly to them and doing extra work to get this project off the ground. But like, you definitely know this person like quite well. You've seen them at some of their best points in the last 2 years and some of their worst, and finances and emotions and love and not love. But that moment, to have the wherewithal to remain at a good, like to frame it correctly, when she finds the painting, to frame it correctly and to monitor sound when she rolls it out onto the ground and hugs it and embraces it with her face and her whole body for a moment. And then to, and these things, I guess, not that one, not the rolling it out and embracing it, could be not staged, but walking away down the middle of the road into the night, that feels too good to be true. That could be perhaps staged.
Yeah.
And she's an artist, and I think that she wouldn't object to doing something, living her life for a moment, deliberately, artistically for the camera.
Yeah.
I think that that would be not out of her scope of interest or motivation for this project, but it was fucking cool no matter what happened. Super fucking cool. It looked like the end of Rambo First Blood.
Yeah.
Like you walk off and you're fucking...
What a reference for you to say.
Exhausted. And you've done all this work and you've done a scary thing, but you've succeeded and fuck you. Now I'm going home.
Like Rambo.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Rambo...
Oh, shit.
What?
That has nothing to do with our next talk.
That's not fair.
But it is badass.
Our next dog?
Yeah.
You've already chosen it?
Yeah, I have chosen it.
Man, oh man.
And I have seen it.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I will be watching it again because it was good.
I will be.
I'll watch it again, so that makes up for Mitch not watching it.
Hey, man.
Twice the info.
Who are you? Y'all.
It is Virunga.
I've never heard of this.
No?
Virunga.
It's on Netflix. So Virunga is a national park in Africa.
Oh.
So it's about the gorillas of Virunga and the people who protect them.
Huh.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of cool. We haven't seen like a super nature doc in a while.
It's not really a nature doc, though.
Oh, it's like poaching and...
So it's a team of brave individuals risk their lives to protect the last mountain gorillas.
Oh.
So it's about the people who work at Virunga. And yeah, it's in Eastern Congo.
Oh Christ.
Virunga National Park.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. It's really good.
Sounds like a lovely place to go.
It's on Netflix, or it was Netflix. At least. I think that's where I watched it. So I assume it's still there.
Okay. Virunga. When did it come out?
2015, I believe.
Okay.
2014. Oh, I believe it was nominated for an Oscar in 2015.
Really?
Yeah.
Virunga.
It didn't win?
I don't believe so, but...
With that next week, sorry.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
We'll find it out next week. We had a fan reach out to us, Aaron, and she said, where's the episode?
Oh,
so
sorry.
We will not take another week break, I promise.
Oh, fuck. You ever heard of Promise Break?
Anytime soon.
Okay, no. Fair enough.
Okay, gentlemen, we'll be back with the gorillas of Virunga next week.
Later.
Later.
Bye.